Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
And you know, when you think back and you look and you know men, and time changes, things change over the years. I was over at polishing the pulpit. I don't remember if it was last year, year before last, but I had spoken one evening, and when I got there, some other day, anyway, when I finished speaking, a brother came. I come down off the stage, and a brother came up to me, and he said, "Brother Acuff, are you the Brother Acuff that preached at the Bristol Road Church in Flint, Michigan?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, and his wife, well, she's kind of way over on the other side of the building, and he said, "Come over here, Tim, come over here." And so she rushed over there and came over there, and he said, told his wife, said, "This Brother Acuff," said, "he was at Bristol Road." And they said, "You married us 45 years ago," something like that. And she said, "Yeah, we thought you was dead by now." And so, you just never know. But what a great blessing it is to not be dead, be able to preach the gospel and to have an opportunity like you have given. Turn your Bibles. We're going to be looking at 2 Chronicles chapter number 24 in just a few minutes. But tomorrow night, we're going to be looking at the importance of the church. When you and I study the Bible, we talk to individuals out in the world. The idea, the view of the church just does not resonate with some individuals. And it's because of false doctrine. It's just amazing what is taught in our world today regarding the church. And we're going to be looking at that tomorrow evening. Then on Tuesday evening, when I see the blood, you remember back in the book of Exodus that God told Moses what to do. He told the children of Israel, told them to put the blood over the doorpost. And God said, "When I see the blood." So we're going to be looking at that then on Tuesday evening. And then Wednesday evening, we're going to be looking at the topic, get a life. In the book of James, chapter number 4, the Bible said, "What is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." So we hope that you'll be able to be with us as we study these topics. When you look at the title, "How Will You End?" I thought of the words of Luke in the book of Luke, chapter number 16, verses 19 through 31. The Bible says that there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, "Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Abraham said unto him, "Son, rememberest thou in thy lifetime that thou receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things? But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they who would pass from hence to us cannot, neither then can they pass from us that would pass to you." And he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come unto this place of torment." Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." He said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent." Abraham said, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." When you and I look at that passage of Scripture, we ask the question, how will you end? I'm sure that if someone did an interview with the rich man or either with Lazarus on that occasion, if there was an interview with a rich man, I'm sure that if they asked him the question, "What do you think the end result will be of your life?" I doubt very seriously that he would say, "I will lift up my eyes being in torment." Here was a man, and he was a wealthy man. The Bible says that he fared sumptuously every day. Now, I'm going to tell you, you and I fare sumptuously every day as well. You and I are blessed tremendously with those things that God has given us to enjoy the fruits of our labor. And so the Bible says that they laid, that this beggar was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from his table. Now, the Bible said the dogs came and licked his sores. And so, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. People have said, I wonder about that. What does that mean, the dogs came? Well, there are various theories. The Bible doesn't tell us. Some have said, well, he didn't have any, he didn't have the strength to shoo them away. Others have said, well, the dogs licking his sores was soothing to him. You know, if you go back to the Old Testament, the book of Job, and you remember that Job, when he had boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and he would scrape that with pottery, you know, and so you see this poor beggar, and you see the Bible said he just couldn't maybe shoot it. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But the Bible said the dogs came and licked his sores. When you and I look at that illustration in the Bible, it's kind of interesting. I want you to just kind of imagine, I'm using the rich man on the left side, the beggar on the right side. Now, during life, the beggar was up here, the rich man was up here, and the beggar was down here. The Bible says that it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel of Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. That you and I can understand and see that death, ladies and gentlemen, is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. The Bible said, wherefore by one man sin entered the world, death by sin. Therefore death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And so when you and I see these two men, death has evened out everything. But that's not the end of it. The Bible says that it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and he seeth Abraham afar off. How will you end? When you and I see these men, and we see what took place in Luke 16:19-31, this rich man learned that God meant what he said. He learned quickly that God meant what he said. You remember what Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. You and I realize that he didn't have a second chance. He recognized, I don't have a second chance. There are those individuals who seem to have the idea, and here's what they'll say. They'll say, oh, Brother Acuff, I pray that God will have mercy on me when I die. Let me tell you, my friend, God's having mercy on you and I tonight. He has given us the opportunity. He is giving us time to make the kind of decision that needs to be made in order that we may be saved in the day of judgment. The Bible teaches us the plan of salvation, that we hear the Word of God. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. The Bible teaches me to believe it. Hebrews 11:6. That without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And upon that faith in Jesus Christ, we repent of our sins. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you and I see that they were to repent, and then, as we find in Acts 8, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hindereth me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest, thou mayest. He said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down to the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. The rich man learned that God meant what he said. The rich man learned that he did not have a second chance. The rich man learned that hell was a reality. There are those individuals who say, if you took a survey, if you went down in McMinnville somewhere, doesn't matter where, you go to McMinnville and you take a survey and you begin to ask folks, do you believe you're going to heaven or hell? I'm telling you, 90% of them will say, I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. And so, or if you ask them, do you believe there is a hell? Well, they might believe there is a hell, but there are those who say, well, I don't believe that hell is a reality. He found out that hell was a reality. He found out something else. That was too late to pray. I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. How will you end? When you and I look at this, and I want to use an illustration in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 24, because there's an interesting story there by a fellow by the name of Joash. When you and I look at 2 Chronicles 24, Joash was 7 years old when he became king. Now, when I began to study the Bible, I used to think about Josiah. In 2 Kings chapter number 22, the Bible says that Josiah was 8 years old when he became the king. He turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And so Joash was 7 years old when his uncle, by the name of Jehoiada, when he was made king. Now, when you go back a couple of chapters, I mean, you think about this, folks. You think about his grandmother, Athaliah. His grandmother, she had the entire, I think the scripture uses this term now, the seed of the royal family. She got rid of it. The seed of the royal family. But they were able to save Joash. Jehoiada's wife was able to hide Joash. And so they hid him. Athaliah thought, I've slain everyone. But the Bible tells us that Jehoiada had saved Joash, and then when you come down to 2 Chronicles chapter number 24, the Bible tells us that Jehoiada, who was a priest, made him king. Now, when you and I look at that, I mean, if we stop right there, we'd say, man, you know, that's really interesting. That's really fascinating. Listen, folks, the Old Testament is exciting. The Bible says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And so you look at this, can you imagine a seven-year-old being king? You know, now seven-year-olds run the household nowadays in many families, but at any rate, they're not kings over a nation. And so you think about a seven-year-old being the king. Now, the Bible tells us that Jehoiada the priest, that as long, and we'll come back to this in a minute, but Joash followed in his uncle's footsteps. His uncle taught him. His uncle encouraged him. He did what was right. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 24 that the temple needed, the house of God needed repairing. And so Jehoiada and Joash, they told the Levites, they said, now we want you to go out and gather up money, and you tax the people, and you gather up money, and we want to repair the house of God. Well, the Levites didn't do that. They didn't want to do it because simply, if we do that, folks are going to get mad at us because we're placing an additional tax on them. And so therefore we don't want to do it. And they kept putting it off. They never did do it. And so Jehoiada said, he and Joash got, now I'm paraphrasing all this, got together and said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get a box and put it at the temple door. And the idea was, what they wanted to do was what Moses had done back in the book of Exodus when they built the tabernacle. And so when you look at that, now, have you ever heard, you remember in Mark chapter number 12, you remember the Bible says that Jesus set over against the treasury, and as they came in, they put their money in the treasury. And you remember the Bible tells us about the poor widow, and the Bible said she came in and she put in all that she had. Now the others put in, the Bible, out of their abundance. She put in out of her poverty. And so, but when you look at that passage of Scripture, and the Bible says they set over against the treasury, it reminds me to go all the way back over here to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 24, and how they put a box. And when that box would get full, they would take it and dump it and refill it again in order to repair the temple. Joash is king. Now then, Joash followed in the footsteps of Jehoiada. But then, the Bible says Jehoiada died. 123 years old, he died. And after he died, it reminds you of Solomon, or Rehoboam, after Solomon's death, and Rehoboam became the king of Israel. And you'll remember that there was a kind of a division between the young and the old. And so the young, Rehoboam listened to the young, and that is what caused the division. Jeroboam took them all up to the north and created the northern kingdom, and Rehoboam in the southern kingdom. But see, he was looking at the young, and he took advice from the young instead of the old. Keep in mind, Jehoiada is dead. His uncle is dead. The priest is dead. And now these young men come in and they take Joash, and as a matter of fact, then he begins to listen to them, and it eventually comes out that these men kill the son of Jehoiada, which is Zechariah. Then, when you continue to read, the Bible tells us that Joash dies. But while Jehoiada was buried with the priest and among those who were righteous, the Bible tells us that Joash was not buried among the kings. What will the end be? What will your end be? What will my end be? When you and I look at Joash, when you and I look at the rich man and Lazarus, when you and I go back, and we'll review this again in a few minutes, Matthew 25, and those on the right hand and those on the left hand, we simply ask the question, what will my end and what will your end be? Now, when you and I look at this, we see another. Remember what took place in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4? You remember that Paul had given charge to the young preacher Timothy. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, time of my departure is at hand. Later on he said, now I've fought a good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me on that day, not to me only, but to all those that love His appearing. He didn't stop there. He goes on to say this. He said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. See, there are those individuals who have the false doctrine idea that once you're in grace, you're always in grace. Once saved, always saved. I heard a preacher, he was a denominational preacher, and he was preaching, once you're saved, you're always saved. Now, I'm going to tell you something, my friend. That'd be a pleasant doctrine, wouldn't it? I mean, listen, I remember years ago, the first congregation where I was preaching, and I hadn't been there but just maybe a couple of months, and one of the brothers called me, and it was on a Sunday afternoon. He said, Brother Acuff, my son wants to be baptized. And he said, now we would like for the previous preacher, was still in the area, he had kind of retired, and they said, we'd like for the previous preacher to baptize him. I said, sure, that's fine, that's great. And so that Sunday evening, the brother A.S. Landis was his name, he was there at the service. The young man was baptized that night, and I'll never forget this. I went back in the back where they got dressed, and I was standing on the steps, and the daddy was at the top of the steps. And when the young man was baptized and came up out of the water, his dad just kind of did his shaking. He said, well, man, I got that taken care of. They weren't faithful, though the young man hardly ever attending Bible study or worship assembly. See, because there are some folks who have this idea that all I've got to do is just be baptized and the rest of my life, I've got, as the fellow said, I've got my ticket punched. Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world by knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they become again entangled therein, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to turn from the true Word of God. As the proverb, the dog turned his own vomit, and the sow that was washed the wallowing in the mire. The Bible teaches us that sin is it causes man to be separated from God. Isaiah 59, the Bible said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not short and they cannot reach, neither are his ears heavy they cannot hear, but your sin has separated between you and God." Demas loved the world, and he went back into it. 1 John 2:15-17, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, these things of the world are not of the Father. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Romans chapter number 12, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Demas has forsaken me. What will your end be? What will my end be? Now, when you and I look at this, we see Demas. But then we also see another person. And that is, as we look at this man by the name of Peter. When you and I study the life of Peter, boy, I'm going to tell you. Peter lived, this guy, I love Peter. I can relate to Peter. You know, Peter always had his foot in his mouth. You know, somebody said they made this new shoe polish with toothpaste in it for people who always have their feet in their mouth. And so, Peter was kind of like that. He was brazen. He'd run. You remember at the tomb, ran ahead. Here was a man. He was just an exciting guy. He was one of the first. Andrew, you remember, introduced his brother Peter to Jesus. When you and I look at the life of Peter, I see Peter in Matthew chapter number 16. When Jesus asked the question, "Who do men say that I am?" And you remember Peter gave an answer, "Oh, thou art the Christ." Peter gave that answer. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." We see Peter again in the next chapter of the book of Matthew, chapter number 17. And Peter, James, and John, our Lord takes them upon the mount. And he's transfigured before them. And I'm telling you, Peter gets excited. He said, "Lord, it's been good to be here. Let's build three tabernacles. One to Moses, one to Elijah, and one to Christ." That's Peter. God spoke out of heaven. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." They came down off that mountain. And then in a short time, you remember that Jesus had been in the garden praying. And who did he take with him? Peter, James, and John. He took Peter with him. They went to sleep. But he took Peter, James, and John, went into the Garden of Gethsemane. And so you can back up a little bit, and in Matthew chapter number 26, Peter, "Oh Lord, I'm not going to proceed." You remember that. "I'm not going to do anything." But now I want you to watch this. Peter, James, or Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they come to take Jesus. And I'm telling you, Peter, they come to take our Lord, and Peter's, you got to know Greek, and I don't know it. So anyway, I can just imagine old Peter takes that sword and he says, "What?" Jesus said, "Now put that thing up. Those that live by the sword are going to die by it. My kingdom's not this world. If my kingdom were this world, then my servants would fight." But I love Peter. Peter said, "You ain't going to do this to my Lord. I'll work this." Jesus got the guy's ear. Luke's the one that records the fact that he put it on back on. I'd love to have seen that, wouldn't you? That'd just been interesting to me. Peter, he is the only one at that point who stood in defense of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, or Jesus said, "Y'all gonna not me, Lord? No, man, not me." You know that story. And our Lord said, "Peter, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times." And he did. There's an interesting phrase in the book of Luke. And I don't know just exactly where our Lord was in terms of where Peter was at that point, but apparently there was some close proximity. You think about this. Peter had said, "Lord, I am not going to forsake you. I don't care what happens, I'm not going to forsake you." And now he's warming his hands at the fire, and they, "Yo, oh, you went, no, I wasn't, I don't know who, oh no." And he began to curse, "No, no, no." And the cock crows. You know what the Bible says? Jesus looked at him. I'll paraphrase that again. Can you imagine? And the Bible says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. Here's Peter. When you and I look at the life of, then it's over. After the crucifixion of our Lord, Peter said, "Well, fellas, I'm going back to my old work, and I go fishing. I'm going to go back to fishing." But when you and I see this man, I ask the question: what will my end be? What will yours be? We look at Joash. We've looked at Demas. And now Peter has denied the Lord. He's cursed. He weeps bitterly. But you and I know, folks, 50 days later, when Peter learns that our Lord has been resurrected, he runs to the tomb. Oh, and he runs past them. And then he goes in there. Where is he? Go tell Peter. Go tell Peter. When you and I see this man, I love Peter. When you and I go to 1st, 2nd Peter, the New Testament. When you and I go back to the book of Acts, and the Bible says Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, "You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you. Hearken to my words. These men are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." What took place on that occasion? 50 days after Peter had denied he knew the Lord, he is opening the doors to the greatest kingdom that has ever or will ever exist, and that is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached on that day, and on that day the Bible says there were added to them about 3,000 souls, and then the Bible says the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Peter preached that sermon. When you and I look at the life of Peter, and we go down to 1st and 2nd Peter, and I think of Peter's words in 2nd Peter chapter number 1, when he said, "Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and brotherly kindness, and love. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know," Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And then Peter said this in this way in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." What will your end be? What will my end be? Now I want to draw 4 points from this. When you and I look at Joash, when you and I look at Demas, when you and I look at Peter, we'll get out of here about midnight, so take your nap if you need to. Number one, here's what I want you to learn here. A good start doesn't always mean a good ending. What did Joash do? He started out right. I mean, he started out with his uncle Jehoiada, and the Bible says, if you have a copy of the Old Testament, jot over there to the 14th or the 24th chapter. I want you, there's a verse number 2, 2 Chronicles 24, verse number 2. I want you to look at this, because if you just read it and you look through that, you don't really grasp it, but look at verse number 2. The Bible said Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Joash did that. What? Are you a preacher follower? Oh, Brother Acuff, Brother, and this is what I appreciate. I'll be somewhere, and Brother Kevin, I'm sure you've experienced this so many times as a gospel preacher. You'll be somewhere, and maybe you'll run into someone that say, Brother Kevin, you baptized me 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Man, that's exciting. And they'll say, Brother Kevin, you remember when a certain thing happened? And so Brother Kevin is preaching somewhere, and they come and they'll say, and you ask the question, or now you ask maybe the local preacher, the elders, are they, they don't come much anymore. The Bible says Joash served the Lord all the days of Jehoiada. You remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1. He said, there was a division there. Some of Paul, of Apollos, of Cephas, of Christ. And so Paul said, I'm thankful I didn't baptize any of you folks. Because of the fact that so many times, and I'll talk about this a little more, Joash was faithful. Now, the reading that we had a few minutes ago in Matthew 13, verses 18 through 23. Thank you for that great job of reading that. Because we have the four soils, the good ground. The Bible tells us it brought forth 100, and some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. The Bible says some of it fell on the wayside, some fell among the stony ground, and it didn't take much root. I think about good start doesn't always mean a good ending. Demas, no doubt, had been with Paul at one time. I go to the book of Acts chapter number 8 and I read about a man by the name of Simon. See, Philip has gone down here and he's preached and Simon hears this message. Man, this is great, and he's baptized. And then when they sent Peter down there to lay hands on them and he saw what they're able to do, they said, this is great. How much did it cost me to get a hold of that? Remember what was told? Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God that perhaps a thought of thine heart will be forgiven thee. Good start. How many of us in the body of Christ, how many of us have witnessed a precious soul? Maybe you're here, maybe you're one of them here tonight. A precious soul baptized into Christ for the remission of sin. And when you come up out of the grave, the watery grave, and you're excited and you love the church and you love righteousness, and then after a period of 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 weeks or 6 months, all of a sudden you begin to miss on Wednesday night and then Sunday night and then Sunday morning, and now you miss 2 or 3 weeks in a row, and you say, well, Brother Acuff, how's that? Listen, a good start doesn't always mean a good ending. You and I have looked at Joash. When the time came for him to be buried, he wasn't buried among the kings. So you and I need to recognize that, yes, there's got to be a start, but you and I must remain faithful. Secondly, do good along the way. When you look at Joash, what did he want to do? He wanted to repair the temple. What is your life? What are you doing? What do you do? You remember in Acts chapter number 10? When Peter was at the household of Cornelius and he was talking about Jesus, you remember what he said? He went about doing good. He went about doing good. When you and I turn to the book of Galatians, if you read those first 10 verses in Galatians chapter 6, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one the spirit of meekness, considering thyself lest thou also be tempted. If you look in those 10 verses, you're going to find about 7 things that you and I can do as Christians to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ and to be an influence on other individuals. But in verse number 10, the Bible says, as you have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Especially those in the household of faith. Do good along the way. The third thing I want you to see, Put your trust in God and not in man. My friend, listen to this. Men whom I've known for years as gospel preachers and the impact and influence they had on my life. Brother Ira North was kind of my mentor. And I would go to Madison Church many years ago when he had the Amazing Grace Bible class, and he invited me to come and do introductions for that program that were used in other parts of the country. But I look back and I see these men, and I see men like Brother Ira North. I love Brother V.P. Black. Man, he was so powerful when it came. He could put words together. Those who you have heard Brother Black, and this has been quoted many, many times, that he says they beat the back of our Lord until his shoulder blades looked like sea cap or white caps in a sea of blood. He talked about Jesus. He said the mother of Jesus went down into the valley of the shadow of death, and when she came back up, she held the Savior of the world in her arms. Brother V.P. Black could put words together. I think of men like Brother Bob Bryson. And I see these men and I see what he was able to do. So many meetings where there would be anywhere from... the first meeting I worked with Brother Bryson in, we baptized 21 people in 5 days. 45 more responded besides that to the invitation. I loved all these men. But let me tell you something, my friend. My faith is in the God of heaven. My faith, my trust. And when you and I look at this in 2 Chronicles 24:15-17, the Bible says Jehoiada died. And what happened after his death? The young men came in and turned the heart of Joash away from God. The Bible says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon thine own understanding. Not only that, my friend, but when you and I look at this, make sure that your life ends in faithfulness. Joash's life did not end in faithfulness. The Bible says in Revelation 14:13, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I want to close with Ecclesiastes 7:8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit, Solomon said, is better than the proud in spirit. I want to ask you a question tonight. If the Lord should come, if you go home, lay your head down upon your pillow. You do not awaken to the light of another day. Would you go to heaven or hell? Well, Brother Acuff, I really don't know for sure. Well, I'd be finding out. I did a sermon, a funeral yesterday. 44-year-old young man. They called his home on Monday. He was living in his dad's house. His dad was down in Florida. They called him Monday. He didn't answer. Tuesday morning, he didn't answer. So his uncle goes over to the house, and they found him laying in the floor between the hallway and the bathroom. And so when you and I, you think about this, and so when you and I go home tonight and we lay our head down upon our pillow, and we do not awaken to the light of another day, will you be saved? My friend, listen, we've given the plan of salvation. We're here today, tonight, to assist you and to help you and to pray with you and for you. If you're subject to this invitation, we encourage you to come now while together we stand.